Hey everybody, welcome to the 33rd episode of the JDO Show. I am your host, J. David Osborne, and I'm coming to you from my aunt's house in Northern Virginia. I came over here for a holiday trip. It's been a very, very interesting one. I currently have had a lot of Coors Lights because I am nervous about my flight tomorrow. Not because I'm scared of flying, but because when I came here, I ended up spending 54 hours in the Kansas City airport because of snowstorms. And that's just it's a really weird place to be. It's kind of like being homeless a little bit, maybe. I mean, you know, it was cold. I had to put blankets on. I didn't know where I was going to be, etc. Anyway, it's appropriate that I've had some beers for this intro because I had some beers for this interview with Michael Kazepes, the author of Long Lost Dog Event, and Gravity, which is forthcoming from Broken River Books. I've been trying to quit the beer recently. I've been on a pretty strict magic mushroom regimen in order to quit, but I'm on vacation now, and there's a lot of beer here, and so I am drinking it. Anyhow, I hope you enjoy this interview. It's really fun. It's like just sitting down with me and Mike and knocking back a couple of brewskis and talking shit. So yeah, I hope you enjoy.
That's fine. As long as you speak at that tone, you're totally fine. And I'm gonna talk like I'm talking normally, louder than I normally do. So. So was the burger good?
Are we on?
Yeah.
Is this a thing now?
Yeah, it's the thing now.
Oh man, it was alright. Yeah, it's a little flat. kind of left off everything but the burger and the bread.
Yeah, so we went to New Seasons and ordered a burger, and you ended up getting something that looked like a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or sandwich, if you're nasty.
Yeah, this microphone position kind of reminds me of when I was in a band.
Yeah,
a long time ago when I was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first show. The sound guy at that bar that we were at kept jacking up the sound of my guitar because he thought I was lead since I wasn't singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept turning down the volume of my guitar, and he would keep like raising the volume. And then I think we were kind of having like a battle.
Right.
Volume battle. And then I basically got to the point where, you know, you turn the knob so far on the guitar, it just, there's nothing coming out.
Yeah, it's fine. I was like thinking about old music. I started listening to Brand New again.
Let me just cough over here.
But yeah, no, it was bringing me back, man. It was making me feel all emo and shit.
I wasn't in an emo band. I just wanted to clear that.
What
out.
Kind of band was it?
Like a horror punk band.
Oh, what's the name of that one? The one who did Sheila's a Parasite. What's the name of that band?
Uh-huh.
The fuck, it's like the fucking,
I don't listen to that shit.
It's like the zombie guys. I don't know what the fuck it was
called.
Oh, you mean like Deadzy? You were like Deadzy.
No, we were like, I don't know. I don't even know what we were. But weird little story. So you know Douglas Warwick?
Yeah, I think I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah. So I was at a party at Anderson Prunty's house in Dayton, Ohio. We were, having some beers and shit, and I tagged him and Andy and some other people, and my friend Brett fucking responds on the status, and that Brett was the lead singer for that band. That was the guy that I was competing against for sound, but I was, like, lowering down because he knew the songs I didn't.
Right.
And apparently Doug was in the fucking same band.
What?
And we're in the same writing scene and had no idea of each other at all, whatsoever. Different times.
Oh,
I mean, it wasn't like he was in the band and I was like, who are you?
Just wearing fucking sunglasses. Like, who's that? Oh, we call him fucking Lame Doug. It's like, oh, okay.
I'll never like, remember. Lame Doug. No, Doug's not lame. He's a nice guy.
No, I know.
But, you say sunglasses thing like I'm an asshole, but then people are going to be like, oh, there's a Bizarro Con panel photo of you wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, what's up with that, man? What was up with the sunglasses? Why were you,
I was hungover.
Ah, right.
It was really bright. Apparently, everybody on that panel thought it was bright because they were also hungover, but I was the only one who came prepared.
Okay, so that's the thing that I've learned over time, which is the first Bizarro Con I ever went to, I got fucking shithoused, like, the first night.
Yeah.
And then I did the same thing the second night. And so it was basically one of those cycles where you wake up, you feel like ass, and then around like noon, 1 o'clock, you have your first beer, and then you start to, you're not really ever.
Wait, 1 o'clock p.m. or a.m.?
In the p.m.s.
All right.
Yeah.
But sounds like I'm far beyond one beer by 1 a.m.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no, totally. But like, and it's funny because now I've kind of learned that basically my thing this year was that I just didn't drink until about 10 or 11 p.m. Like, that's when I had my first beer.
I thought you were going to say until about 10 or 11 years old. I was like, damn, you waited that long?
I can't remember when did you have your first beer? I think I was
like probably, full beer where I finished it, or yeah. Like where yeah. I saw one on the table and I was like, yeah, can I try that?
Right. I mean, we all like, I think, yeah, I was like,
I think the, you know, I call that the fuck you beer that your dad gives you, like just to try and to make you not drink, or
right.
Maybe like he didn't explain his intentions. I don't know.
No, it totally worked for me, man. Like the first time I had a fucking beer, I thought it was the most disgusting.
I was like
thing
eight.
Ever. Yeah, I was around like 7 or 8 or something. I remember my family was watching Murder, She Wrote. I remember exactly where I was. It was a good ass show, man.
Angela Lansbury, dude.
Yep, the Lansbury.
Pour one out. Is she dead?
No, dude, she's alive. Save your beer. Yeah, that's one of those crazy ones where, oh, 2016, man, took everybody. Didn't fucking take Angela Lansbury.
Dude, there's like 2 weeks left. Ooh, yeah, we need to fucking knock on that wood. That's not even wood. That's like IKEA fiber.
It's got enough wood in it to...
Maybe.
Enough wood to make it work, if you know what I'm saying.
Sir, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm talking about my dick. But anyway. But wait, what were we talking about? We jumped around a lot.
There. I don't know. It was...
Bizarro Con. 1 a.m., people,
1 p.m.?
Yeah. People, like... So it's funny to me now because it's not that I've somehow, like, developed some sort of self-control. It's more like...
God, no.
I've just kind of learned... That is not what you do. And so I got to watch everybody else be fucking dumb as shit, which was awesome. Like, what was that?
My question before you continue is, was drinking beer during this podcast a good idea? Because I got to burp.
Burping is fine. I don't give a shit. Do it.
Well, it's gone now.
Scared it away. It's fucking scared it away. But each year gets more and more fun because you learn how to kind of adapt to that sort of environment, I guess. And, you know, that or you just develop a stronger... It might be that my liver is just used to taking punishment now and is I can just...
No, I pace myself now. The first one, I got shithoused. I mean, I had less... I wouldn't call it responsibility, but less people wanted to talk to me because they didn't know who the fuck I was.
Sure.
Not that I'm anybody now, but, you know. But, I was going to make a joke about being a big deal. I was like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
But the first year, I just was like, oh, fuck, I can miss all those panels. I don't give a fuck. I'll show up. Like, I don't have, you know, you weren't, there was no expectations. Whereas now, like, I have, because of King Shot and stuff, I have people come up to me and be like, hey, man, I saw this book. I really liked it. That's a good one.
Thanks.
That's for you, man.
Everybody just turned it off. They're like, fuck, this is gross. Deal with it.
Yeah, dude, there's like some bizarro dudes out there. It's like, bitch, those are pussy burps.
But yeah, no, I think that, man, I think also when you and I probably went to our, did we go to the same first Bizarro Con?
No, you went to the year before, I think. No, wait. Did you go to 2011 or, no, 2011 because you won the Wonderland.
Yeah, I think that was my first one.
And then I went to the one after.
Okay, yeah, and I wasn't at that
one. And I was pissed that you didn't come, and I was like, I was texting, I was like, fuck, where you at?
Yeah. I didn't go to that one. I can't remember why now, but...
Probably like me when I can't do stuff, money.
Yeah, no, that's normally it, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, fucking, dude, I'm just ready for, like, fucking Star Trek future where money is a thing of the past and we can just go out into space and, you know.
Jeff Burke would be, if he's listening, which I doubt. just kidding, Jeff.
No, Jeff Burke, this has nothing to do with Jeff.
But,
so Jeff
but he
Burke
would be, he would be stoked as fuck to hear that. He'd be like, post money. I was, like, talking to him on an instant message and I was like, man, do you even count as a liberal? I was like, you're kind of just like a Star Trek anarchist.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Okay, well, let's break this down, though, because I feel like liberal gets thrown around a lot. So what does liberal mean to you? Like, what does that mean?
It means capital, like
it's not,
mean,
it's
it
not
means,
left.
It's free market, with the Overton window kind of like spectrum, it probably falls in the left, center lefty-ishness. Because it's like capitalism with cuffs on.
Mm.
Whereas, like, being a leftist, I mean, I'm not speaking for, like, every... Because, you know, it's like, when you say right-wing, it doesn't mean every single person. There's libertarian right-wing, which is very different than, like, you know, fringe right or something.
You can also, by the way, you can take your time. We don't have to fill up every second of silence with it. Because I just stutter a lot, man. No, it's totally cool, man. Like, if you have an idea that, like, you're trying to, like, think of or whatever, then I can... I do go through this and just give it a once-over. So if there's a big pause, I'll cut that out or whatever. So it's not a big deal.
No, I think of liberals as being free marketeers. Mm. I just like to say that.
That's the way I see it. Babadoo-ba-ba.
But like, to me, being a leftist or identifying as a left spectrum person or it sounds like an identity like
you're on the fucking spectrum
I'm on a spectrum for leftism. There's like some right wing dude out there's like I'll say
this boy's definitely on the spectrum.
It means different things to different people, so I don't mean to speak for anyone else, but what it means to me is that liberal seems to be these are people who are very much okay. I think like democratic social or what, social democrat, whatever you want to call that Bernie Sanders is probably the furthest to the left you can be and still be right wing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're like the free market thing, I consider to be it. I mean, it's liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to say it, but conservatives are also liberals.
Yeah.
They're
they're liberals, but they're not liberals.
They're not. Bunch of tax and spend liberal. No, they're not like that. I don't know why I did that fucking voice. I think it's because I heard that in Ohio.
Right.
Because nobody uses tax and spend in the real world.
That's one of those. I mean, that's like Jimmy Carter insult. One of those things, though, that's a stereotype that's kind of true. Like, a good majority of people who vote Republican do have that accent. That's just
fair enough.
That's just a fact, you know?
Yeah, because there's the rural urban divide, for sure.
Yeah. And then on the left hand side, you have a bunch of fucking college professors who pronounce their T's very. Distinctly.
You know. Fuck college, man.
Dude, college is... You didn't go to college?
No. I didn't even graduate high school.
Did you get your GED?
Nope.
Really?
The fuck's a GED gonna do in the real world with writing?
Yeah, that's true.
The real world with writing. That's kind of right. But, like...
No, that's something that I actually think is kind of an important thing to talk about. Because, you know, you said real world and writing. And it is kind of important, I think, to talk about. Especially, like, maybe this podcast is the place for it. But, like, what does that mean, like, real-world writing? Because there is a real world, right? And I think too many people maybe live in this kind of fantasy world about, like, what that means.
I can't get it out. What do you mean in terms of real-world writing? Like, do you mean, like, what are your expectations in becoming a writer, or...?
Well, I just think that maybe in terms of turning it into a job.
Well, okay, because for a second there, I was thinking of that meme where it's like, what my parents think I do, friends think I do, and it's like, what I actually do. Like, I thought you were kind of going there.
Well, I guess the way that I see it is that I can kind of tell you my thought, and then maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
And my thought is just...
Parrot it. I almost said pirate it, but I was like, no, wait.
I just get your opinions off the BitTorrent and fucking...
I'd be like that fucking Trump debate where he's like, yeah, what she said, but then I'll add this.
Right.
He didn't say that exactly, but kind of...
I don't listen to that guy. I have no idea what he says.
How can you avoid him, dude? He's everywhere.
Not if you don't fucking turn on the fucking internet.
He's outside. How can you not?
I heard somebody was talking about me, and I just want to say I'm very, very upset.
Yeah, that's how he would say it. He'd be like, sad.
Sad. Sad. It's sad.
You got a pretty good...
It's true.
You got a pretty good Trump.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's
no,
not bad.
Thank you. But no. But I guess the way that I see it is that a lot of people kind of look at writing and stuff like that still in this kind of terms of you know, you it's still very much like you go out and you find people to take care of you, and the problem is that there's no money that exists to actually the take care of you thing is like looking for a publisher. Right.
Yeah.
Like the idea that if you find a publisher, like your dreams have come true, and you don't have.
We know that ain't true.
Nope.
That's not true all the way up to the top. Almost. Nope. I mean, unless you're pulling like a 7-figure deal, you're working your nuts off to do stuff. Yeah, if you're talking like real shit publishing, it's a team effort. The publisher is kind of like they can you know. Lead the horse over to that water, but that fucking horse needs a drink or it's gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the horse is the fucking rider. Sorry, I'm gonna get yelling at your microphone.
No, it's fine.
Take that microphone. I'm actually staring at the fucking microphone like I'm gonna fight it.
Microphone's like, fuck you. Let me
just
bitch. Drink
this Montucky cold snack.
Is I believe we determined that it was in fact the coldest of snacks.
You motherfucker.
Got him right when he was taking the sip.
Shit.
Right when he was talking the sip.
So, I just spit that out. That's a beer foul.
What do you think about this new fucking Spider-Man trailer?
I'm not as critical of the superhero movies as some people. I mean, you could tell Spider-Man or the Amazing Spider-Man 2 was going to be a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's because it didn't make sense on any level.
Yeah.
But in terms of he's too young, he's too old, that kind of shit, or he doesn't quip, he doesn't do this. I grew up in the 90s. My Spider-Man's like boring as shit and married to Mary Jane. And there's like 50 clones and shit running around. Like,
I think when I was a kid, I think it was like when Ben Reilly was Spider-Man.
No, that was a pretty dope costume. I mean, because he was like...
Yeah. And then I remember...
Cut off sleeves hoodie.
I remember one of the best things that I read when I was a kid. I might have been in 6th, 7th grade, but when Norman Osborn comes back from the dead and fucking kills Ben Reilly.
That was when he like... They fucking did that flashback where he rapes Gwen Stacy. And I was like, wait, what?
Yep. It was dark as fuck.
That was some weird retconning, dude.
Peter Parker, because he sends the glider after Peter Parker, and Peter ducks it, and it hits Ben Reilly right in the chest, and he falls off a fucking building and smashes into.
Yeah, that was weird. Didn't he like turn to dust at some point or some shit?
Ben Reilly?
Yeah.
No, he died like a person. He just fell off the fucking building and died.
I don't remember anymore. Mm. I blocked like a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Spider Clone Saga shit out.
Yeah. But so I think you and I probably have different opinions, because you're really into comic book movies, right?
Some. I mean, it depends. I'm not into, like, the Fox movies. I'm not into, like, the... I'm into the Marvel movies. It's because I'm really impressed. I'm a big TV show fan, and that's, like, it's the biggest TV show I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do you watch, like, Arrow or...
I'm a CW. I'm a CW freak, dude. I don't know what's going on. I watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay, but what is that?
That's it's kind of like Justice League with the shitty characters.
Sounds tight.
It's like B-sides.
Yeah.
Like essentially, I mean, it's a dumb show. It's goofy as shit. It's kind of like, do you remember like the goofiest that the Russell T. Davies like Doctor Who episodes got, where you were like, really, that the fucking mannequins and shit like that?
Oh yeah.
It's like those. If you took the worst Davies Doctor Who episodes and made them a series.
Yeah.
That's Legends of Tomorrow.
It's funny, man, though, because I think I liked those ones the best.
No, it's fun as hell.
Like, what's the? It was Russell T. Davies where he where they're getting really close to the sun, and there's that the sun is a parasite that like infects people, and so like it's the burn with me one, you know, where it's like people like their eyes start glowing because they're too close. Like, I like that shit, man.
My favorite Davies moment though is like I just remember, this is all I remember from like old. Well, not old, but like old for New Who. Like old New Who.
Yeah.
You Who? I don't know. is when like Harkness pulls a gun out of nowhere. They're like, where'd you find that gun? And he was naked, so it was obviously up his ass. It's in Bird. I was just like, yeah, that's funny.
What was the show where it was just Harkness? What was that?
Torchwood.
One? Torchwood. Was that one good?
I liked it.
I think they kind of pitched it as like a grown up Doctor Who, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like Doctor Who meets Angel or some.
Oh, right.
They kind of took like the Buffy / Angel team formula, applied it to Doctor Who. You know, they made it very British, so it's not quite nearly as exciting and dynamic as like the Buffy show was and stuff. Sure. But
I liked Angel. Okay,
it's good. Yeah, Angel's a good show. You know, I enjoyed Torchwood. I watched all of it. I even watched the season with I think Mekhi Phifer.
Really? There's no Mekhi Phifer. This is my life.
That was set up. Yeah. No, I'm not going there.
Shout out Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, shout out Doc. Wait.
Dr. Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Gotta get my Phil's right, dude. Gotta get my Phil in that.
Oh, dude, man, if Uncle Phil was still alive, he should have totally fought Dr. Phil. That would have been so
remember
good.
Remember when we went to karaoke?
Yeah, yeah.
You did that song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you dedicated it to Uncle Phil, because I think he hadn't just died, but it was like a year... Before, I don't know.
We all miss him very much.
That was when you,
The best TV dad, man. Uncle Phil.
But he was like a TV uncle, really. Unless you're talking about Carlton, because he did a poor job with Carlton.
No, because, I mean, you have to remember the episode where Will's dad actually comes back, and his dad's like this con man, grifter type dude. You remember this episode?
It's been a long time. Okay, so... I know I've seen them all, but...
So there's this episode, I mean, it's the best moment in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air history, I think, and it'll make me cry.
Can you really pick just one?
maybe. But, so Will's dad comes back and, you know, and he's excited to see him because he hasn't seen him since he was a little kid and blah, blah, blah. And then, sure.
Yeah. You want another beer?
Yeah.
All right.
And so,
you want PBR or,
Let's do a nice cold snack.
All right.
A nice chili.
You're
chili
finally going to sit at the grown-ups table.
The big boy table with the cold snack.
Yeah, for anybody wondering, David's at my house right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I
mean, yeah, you came over because it was like, you live 10 minutes away. Might as well just do this in person.
Exactly.
Because then people can feel like they're drinking with us, minus having fun.
Right. But anyway, so Will's dad comes back and he turns out to be this big piece of shit. And there's this thing, there's this monologue that Will gives at the end of the episode where he's just talking to Uncle Phil. And he's talking about how he's going to, you know, his life is going to be great. He's going to fucking, you know... show him, he's gonna turn everything around, blah blah blah, this, that, and the other. And then he like breaks down and cries, and Uncle Phil hugs him. And so the whole scene, I don't think Uncle Phil says a word, but you can just see it all in his face. It's very emotionally effective, man.
Yeah, like, it was a surprisingly good TV, like sitcom actor, because that's a sitcom, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's totally a sitcom.
I don't even remember what sitcoms are anymore.
If you compare other dads, I mean, what, you have Homer Simpson, Al Bundy, Tim Allen. Like,
dude, there were some good Homer moments, though. Like, when he had that, what was it, that blowfish or whatever?
I don't remember
that. And it was, like, the episode where Homer's got 24 hours to live or some
shit. Oh, right.
That was a fucking,
that's good. Yeah.
I'm like, why am I sad about animation?
Right. Yeah, no, it's weird how stuff like that can, like, well, that always gets me with...
That was good storytelling, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, you could do that. I mean, like, look at Up. Like, Up does it in, like, 10 minutes. Like, in the first 10 minutes of Up, like, you get the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it kind of makes you wonder, like, well, what's the point of, you know, having the like fucking 500-page novels when you can get the same effect from watching 10 minutes of a cartoon?
That's the appeal of the CW shows, though, man. Okay, right. So not to distract,
please.
But I guess that's full circling back.
It's full circle,
Yeah, there's speaking of TV dads.
Yeah.
The Flash is like my favorite show on television right now. Mm-hmm. It is CW as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
In that you get these whiny kind of like situations where you're like, really, is that really a big deal? Why are you storming out of the room? Just say you're sorry. Why are you doing, you know?
Sure.
Which is what they want you to say. That's why everything's so which is why everything's so melodramatic. They want the viewer to be like, no, just turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
by making mm-hmm. someone do an irrational,
mm-hmm.
I keep making eye contact with the mic like I'm talking to it.
It's looking at you like, yeah, bitch.
It is, dude. It's kind of like, hey.
But
big boy.
I'm gonna let you finish. But
yeah.
But no.
It was my time to show.
It was my time. Why can't Taylor have what Taylor wants?
What's that from?
Oh, I don't know. I just said it.
Oh, that sounded sounded like perfect.
Taylor Swift.
Why can't she have what she wants?
Why can't I just want it swiftly? But no. So that's one of the reasons why Rio, she watches the K dramas, and that's one of the appeals mm-hmm. of those is that, you know, everybody's very like, they won't just tell each other how they feel, and that's a big part of the storytelling, right? It's just like you could just fucking say it, you know, like.
Oh yeah. So best TV dad is Barry Allen's stepdad in the show.
Mm.
Fucking what's his name? It's not Wally West because Wally is like the Kid Flash. And it kind of they play a little bit of this chemistry off in the show, but the way that he cares about Barry Allen is like almost unfair to his other kids who are his actual biological kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like you feel guilty loving their relationship because the other kids you could like cut them out of the show and it wouldn't even matter.
Right.
Because their chemistry is so like legit. Anyways, yeah, Flash is, I think, the best popcorn show out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough. I mean, Arrow is just like dog shit now. Mm-hmm. Legend of Tomorrow is like can't be fun, but I could go without it. But Flash is just, oh shit, Flash is on tonight.
You see that guy punch the guy who plays Arrow in the face? You see that?
What?
Yeah, no, it was he posted it to his Twitter or Instagram or something. It was a picture of him with a black eye. Apparently a fan walked up to him and said, I want to fight Arrow, and punched him in the face.
That dude's fucking, like, ripped, though.
I guess.
Yeah,
I
but know. That doesn't mean you can fight.
It doesn't mean anything. I've seen, yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
But, I mean, look at Glenn Danzig. He got fucking one punch knockout. He was, like, shredded back in the day.
Glenn Danzig was fucking with the literal troll from Lord of the Rings.
That's true.
Like,
yeah,
just that's a mismatch, it's just a mountain of a man. Like,
I forgot what the other guy looked like. I just remember Glenn Danzig.
He was
huge
and bald, and he looked pissed. And yeah, he was the avatar for all of us. Yeah, and he seems like a cool guy too. Like, he was just, I think he was in another one of the bands that was like touring with Danzig, and he wrote about how Danzig had just like treated them all like shit for a long time, and it all came to a head at that moment, and he fucking laid him out, and it was cool. So,
hey,
we've come to the point.
Take that, Glenn.
Come to the point in the conversation where we're going to talk about you a little bit.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Where'd the idea for Long Lost Dog of It come from?
Oh, shit. Do I give you, like, the spiel version or, like, the honest, like...
It's long form, bro. Version? You do whatever you want.
Long form? Hold on, I got a burp coming.
Burp it.
It's just stuck right there. Mm. I'm pointing at my chest. That's weird. Hold on, let me wash it down.
Wash it?
Suppress it. Did I say wash?
No, I did.
Oh, no, I'm just wondering, because, like, that's an Ohio thing to say wash. Really? Yeah, my dad has a complex about wash.
Really?
Because when he joined the military, this is just like a tangent here, whatever.
Right.
But when he joined the military, which does circle into Long Lost Dog of It, actually.
Okay.
When he joined the military in the 70s, the guys were fucking with him because of his accent, because he's from Cincinnati. So he'd say warsh.
He'd say idear?
Probably. I don't remember that's the specifics on everything he said that it was Ohio. But he changed his accent, his way of speaking, because he got hazed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's why I felt bad about doing that like, joke hillbilly accent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing, though. When you have a weird accent, people do this to me in Greece, too, when I speak Greek. You're like less than them. It's weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, cause I have a weird Greek accent. If it's stuff I learned when I was a little kid, they think I'm from Athens. If it's stuff I learned as an adult, they think I'm from Thessaloniki, because people are like they talk from like chest, and Athenians talk nasal. It's almost like the opposite of the U.S.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of weird. But you know, even when I change my way of pronouncing things for English, it's different. But, yeah, no, anyways, so my dad, yeah, he went through some shit, in the military over a course of 23 years of serving or whatever. He talks like me now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my accent's like my dad's, because, you know, we were living in Greece, Netherlands, South Carolina's where I learned English, which you can't tell because I don't say y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say y'all, but I don't say South Carolinian y'all.
Sure. I almost feel like y'all has, like, entered into the common...
It is. Dude, violence. Yeah, in Kentucky, for instance, which is pretty north, I feel like, there was a sign outside of Cincinnati when you're driving over the border and stuff like that, you're going through Florence, and it just says, Florence, y'all, on a water tower. I was like, oh, that's how you know you're in Florence now. Anyways, yeah, so to wrap around, so Long Lost Dog of It was my way of, like, reconciling kind of my... mutt-like background. And by mutt-like, I mean, I don't really have... I'm Greek and I'm an American, but I was raised kind
of
like...
Do you have dual citizenship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right on. Yeah.
I vote in both when I can. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have, like, a single place that is home. It's always, like, temporary. I don't feel like an Oregonian.
Sure.
I don't feel like an American. And when I'm in Greece, I don't feel like a Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And Lost Dog's kind of it's got a little bit of that in there, where there's a few characters that don't belong. There's the vagrant dude that kind of doesn't have a place.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd say that's probably a common thread through maybe all the characters to a certain extent.
Yeah. None of them have homes except for, well, there's a couple, but they don't really, they don't really have a place. They don't fit. Maniotis is, I don't call him a fascist outright in the book, but he's a Golden Dawn guy. Like, he would be in another life. He's not, you know, he's apolitical, I think. But he's, you know, career military. He's basically, like, the Frank Miller Ubermensch kind of character. He's basically Frank Miller's Batman.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene, you know, where he breaks out. He's, like, retired, you know, from the service. And he breaks his, like, the wood floor in his apartment out and takes out this like case. It's got his old uniform and he holds it up like it's the fucking Batman cowl. But it's just like the shitty like camo uniform he puts on. And he like, you know, he puts it on and is like walking through the city.
And then he just like,
He's in his fatigues in the city.
But he just sits there for a second too, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he also just like sit in his apartment and he's just like.
That's later. That's when he was just like, oh, this, they're coming, you know, long story short, he fucks up a job. He works for like a faceless mob. I don't actually like say who he works for. Some people have said it's the government. Some people have said it's like mafia, whatever. Mm-hmm. In my head, it was always like private. Anyways, so yeah, there's at one point he knows that people are out to get him because he fucked up. A friend warns him. And so he mounts a turret gun. He's like got like a turret gun or some shit.
Yeah.
And he just puts it in front of his front door and falls asleep in a lawn chair staring at his front door.
The fact that he falls asleep is the best part of that. Because he's old. Like, it's like you get to this point and you're like, you have this fucking like badass character and stuff.
Yeah.
And he just like, he sits down and he's like, I'm ready. Off. And he fucking falls asleep.
And then he wakes up later and he's like, no one came. Like he's almost disappointed. But he's like pissed that he fell asleep. But he's, yeah.
Right.
Anyways, That character kind of, I don't know, he grew up, I've been around military folks, like, almost my entire life.
Me too.
I mean,
your dad's Army?
Air Force,
okay.
Air Force, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, because we both have been to the comic shop in Wiesbaden, I think.
Yep. That's where I used to get a lot of my shit, man.
Yeah. Yep. That comic shop and that food court, I think they had, like, a Robin Hood sandwich place there.
They had Anthony's Pizza as well.
And Burger King, they had a clean Burger King.
Dude, that Burger King was tight.
Those fries.
Wait, was this the one? This is the one that had like the Virtual Fighter too, right?
Mm.
Did it have Virtual Fighter?
I don't remember, but I do remember Wiesbaden being my favorite.
Yeah,
my favorite. Oh my god,
the one that I'm thinking of had a Virtual Fighter machine too, but it did have Burger King, Anthony's Pizza. Did yours have Anthony's Pizza?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Well, I think I was only there. You were there like a year or two after me.
I think Anthony's Pizza is like. That's like all U.S. based. Like, I don't think Anthony's Pizza exists outside of U.S. I think it's like an Army chain, basically.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Because it's only on base. Like, I've only ever seen it on base. Good ass pizza, though.
Fucking really. Yeah, no, I remember. Anyways, yeah. Which is weird. If anybody's listening, which maybe.
Dude, we're getting like minimum 300 listeners of every podcast.
Okay.
Now, so.
They'll notice my accent fluctuating.
Uh huh.
And I kind of fall into where I speak now, which is kind of, you call it a Cincinnati accent, but I call it kind of like a generic Democrat accent.
Well, I think what your accent is to me is that the volume and tone of it is very Ohio.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the intonation can fluctuate. But I do the same thing, dude. I mean, I've always been a sponge when it comes to stuff like that because I've lived fucking everywhere. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you talk to my grandmother, you know, she has a very, you know, she talks like that, you know, like that. Yeah. And then, you know, you go to my other grandma, and she's from Louisiana, so she's a baby this and baby that and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, my whole life, like, I went between all these different people who had all these different ways of speaking. And so it's something that I do when I'm talking to somebody who has a very distinct accent. Without fail, I sponge it up and I start talking like them.
When I'm overseas, I start speaking English out of order because I'll get in the mentality of speaking more Greek.
Yeah.
Which I'm only
do
about...
Greeks do, say, do Greeks do the noun first and then the adjective?
Dude, I don't even fucking know. I never went to school for it. I speak like
well, no,
street
no, no,
Greek.
But like what I'm saying is like, would you describe this as a black table or a table black?
I would say it's a black table.
Black table? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say black table, yeah.
They'd probably, like, even if it was backwards, they'd know.
They would know what you meant, but... Yeah.
But, we were talking about Long Dog.
Long Dog. I don't think that's what we're talking about. No, but, so, yeah, anyways, it was a way of reconciling this outsider feeling I've had everywhere I've ever lived, you know, which is quite a few places. Not as many as some, you know, like Joseph Wargo has lived, like, everywhere in the world, I feel like, somewhere. I don't know.
He's actually in the backyard right now.
He probably is, dude. That guy is... I can't keep up with him.
Yep.
I think he's in Hawaii right now, though. So
he is.
We're safe.
He is.
He's a good guy. Safe. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
So reconciling this feeling of being an outsider and not really... And kind of a chameleon in that sense. And growing up around all these military people, I kind of feel like you don't get... when you get out of the military, I don't care if you've seen combat or not, there's no acclimating to civilian life. Mm. It doesn't happen. You know, my dad and other people I've seen, when they get, like, guys I've worked with at my job now that saw, like, did, like, one guy did, like, 8 tours, which is, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, that's about they have a difficulty acclimating back into civilian life where things aren't structured a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these dudes, and they fucking show up on time, dude.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone as punctual as military people.
They can make their fucking bed.
They're like, I'm here at 6:45. Yep. Shift's not till 7:30.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, in a way, like, does have its good things, too, because a lot of people that I knew who joined the military were fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Right? And so, on the one hand, I mean, this feels like a very big topic.
No, for sure.
I don't want to overgeneralize, but a lot of people who I met, like, went into that, and then they came out, and they were still completely fucking wild people. But they had, like, some kind of structure that they put over that.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, no. So they're still completely insane. But, you know...
But they can function.
They can function, exactly. Yeah. So military is
interesting.
Not all bad. Like,
I think it's just in who goes into it and comes out of it. And
sure. Yeah.
It's individual. I don't think military is a bad thing. I mean, you obviously need one.
Yeah. I kind of like how they do it. Like, I recently made some buddies from South Korea, and which would be weird if I made friends from North Korea. But like,
hey, no, that would be cool.
It would actually be kind of cool, right?
That'd be dope. Yeah,
be like, they've all done military service because, you know, they've in that country.
I've got to do conscription within the next 3 years or so, right. And I got to pay some money.
I wonder how common that is, because I know, like,
in Greece, every male over 18.
You have Israel, Korea, Greece.
It's gotten less common over the years. I know. I don't remember if Italy's phased theirs out.
It's not even if you're male. Like, well, everybody in Israel has to do that.
A lot of the northern European countries had conscription as well, and they've only just been phasing it out with the Eurozone boom of the last, like, 20-ish years.
One thing that these guys told me was that... being in the military, like, once you're in, you find stuff out that you didn't know before. And so it's this weird thing where I guess a bunch of people have been in the military and there's, like, classified quote-unquote stuff. Mm. But, like, everybody knows. You just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody finds out. And that's what's interesting to me about, like, the military conscription thing is that, like, everybody would kind of get a peek behind the curtain at, like, what's really going on. And, like, of course, some people get cushed. Like, some people are, like, they're the fucking guitar player for the military band. You know what I mean? Like, it's all different levels of services, but...
My dad would never talk about what he did in the military.
Yeah.
You know, aside from, like, pranks or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he went to Turkey a lot, and he worked in, communication type stuff, like radio towers, which you put two and two together, you could have an idea of... I don't think his access is like that. He was just, like, a master sergeant, which is pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Actually really good. 23 years is a long time to stay in.
Yeah, for sure.
But, that's not to knock down anything that he was doing. It's just like, you can kind of, based on where someone's stationed and what your paranoia tells you they were probably working on, that's probably what they were working on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's actually said to me, I can't, no, that stuff I can't talk about. It's probably all been declassified.
Yeah, it's super interesting, like, that kind of feeling of, like, because I talk about everything. I'm like, I don't give, like, it's weird.
Yeah, I would be the worst. I'd be like, we got nukes in Turkey. We got nukes in Israel. They got nukes, actually. We got nukes in Poland. We got nukes everywhere.
Yeah.
I would be that guy. I'd be like, they're right there. Isn't that fucking cool?
Yeah. You would very quickly be a mysterious suicide.
Yeah, right.
Mike, I don't know. Mike, he seemed okay, but I guess.
But then just liver failure.
Yeah, liver failure.
Like a bullet hole sized failure in his liver.
Mm-hmm,
liver removed. I don't know what happened. No. Anyways, yeah. So my notes is kind of like this. We've walked a long way far from that conversation now. It's like jarring people back over. So this character of my notes, he's like this. Can't acclimate. There were Greek special forces in Afghanistan, so I allude to the fact that he's seen some stuff in Afghanistan, and also to the fact that he was in Bosnia in the 90s, which is... I'm not going to go into that, because that's a whole other can of worms, but he's not a good person, per se.
Sure.
But yet, he's got this like side of him that is a good person at the family stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So reconciling kind of like, people have grown up around paranoias about where Europe's headed, where it's been, where it is now, and just kind of like being young and not having money. And are we running high on time there?
We're fine.
Okay. And
I just check it periodically to satisfy my OCD that it's still recording.
Oh, okay, cool. I just didn't want to be like 4 hours in.
Nope, we're good.
Because me and Chris Lambert did a Hateful Eight podcast, and it ran longer than the movie.
Really?
Yeah, it ran way too long, and I was like, just
talked about. I told him, 4 hours.
We talked about Quentin Tarantino's entire like oeuvre.
I just call it
oeuvre.
Ouvre. I don't even try to, if a word gets too difficult to pronounce, I just say fuck it.
I use the American R. Ouvre.
Yeah. Ouvre. Yeah.
Or it's just not, don't pronounce it
wrong. I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah, you can pronounce things certain ways.
Homage.
Like, yeah, it's whatever, man. Who cares? My whole thing is that, like, as long as you can understand what somebody meant.
Yeah, I agree. I agree at totally the end. I'm not going to make fun.
You know what I mean? But, like, if somebody says, you know, I don't know, ouvre or something, I'm not going to be like, no, it's actually ouvre. It's like, shut the
fuck, that's a good way
to get a fucking wedgie, nerd.
That's where you should get the blast. That's probably what the Arrow dude did to the fan. The fan's like, oh, I'm a big fan of your ouvre. And he's like, ouvre.
And then the guy was like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Knocked him the fuck out.
Yep, pop, take that. Take that, good looking guy. I don't remember what that's from. I think that was like...
Good looking guy whose dick world. I definitely don't want to suck.
Yeah, it's like, guy who I don't want to take out behind that shed over there. Possibly spoon with later. Maybe, you know, buy a house.
Depending on if you say nice things to me or not.
No one does, like creepy, like, urban liberal voices. They're not like,
yeah, so I'd like to take you out to that,
that shed.
That very, very nice industrial motifed warehouse in Portland. It's really beautiful. You don't get that. You don't get like the weird, it's always like weird hillbilly rape like.
Oh no, there's
shit,
a there's
which
a,
is fucked
there's
up.
A, no, there's a reason for that, man. Like
Deliverance.
Well, Deliverance. But like there's a like that the reason that exists too is just oh God, I can't remember the name of the book now. Anyway, there's a reason, but I don't know what it is. But yeah, no, you're totally right.
Which, I'm gonna take you to that vegan restaurant and dine you so well and.
Well, no, I think you do see like I think you do see that like in like think about like Elijah Wood's character in Sin City. Like, he's probably pretty close to that. Like kind of like kind of dorky, you know, like those kind of those.
Is he the one with
like,
the big glasses and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think.
What did he do in that movie? I just remember the glasses.
He just ended up getting eaten by dogs. But he also was like a crazy killer dude.
Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to think of like other ones that have like. What are some good, like, kind of liberal?
I don't even want to say liberal though. It's
no,
definitely
no, no. You're
like
right.
A,
you're right. You're right. I'm using the wrong
there's,
word.
There's
bougie.
Conservatives.
Bougie serial killer. So
I like the term bougie.
We have American Psycho, of course.
Yes.
But like, I'm trying to think of
actually.
Like, some
yeah,
other
he'd
ones.
Be an example of the like hipster serial killer where he's like, let's go to this fancy restaurant and they, you know, they after,
you about,
after the
they
meal
about,
they'll
is like Peter Gabriel.
They'll fold our leftovers up into the shape of an aluminum swan. Like
right. Yeah.
You know that.
Dude, the world needs a fucking hipster serial killer.
Yeah, well,
like,
I was
for,
hoping
like,
one
for,
would happen
like,
in...
Like, modern day. Like he works on his bike all day, and then he fucking kills women at night.
Oh, my God. So it'd be, like, drive with a, like a cafe racer.
Yeah. This is a good idea, man.
That sounds like a horrible idea, because Ryan Gosling would just play the character.
Yeah.
But he'd have skinny jeans on.
Fucking great. And with one cuff rolled up. Like, just the left cuff.
You'd have skinny jeans on. And he'd purse his lips just so. Wouldn't say nothing. He'd just smile.
Did you see The Nice Guys?
Yeah. So I liked good. It.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
I liked I like anything Shane Black. But that's why I'm so excited for Predator.
But you know another reason I think that you don't get like the bougie rape threats? Because bougie dudes don't sound intimidating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Whereas, like, you get in a fight in the fucking country, you know you're going to, like, brawl, though. If somebody's like, I'm going to fucking fight you, you're like, oh, shit, this guy's going
to
fight me.
Which, actually, you have to watch out for the bougie people more because they have that money to protect them. So yeah, because
they won't fight
less.
You, but some dude from the like the side that you didn't see in your periphery.
From the side or just like, or
yeah. Well, they roll deep usually. They're the ones that roll with like a big group of people.
I think that a lot of like these kind of crimes, especially if we're talking,
I'm just like generalizing people I don't know.
Well, no, but I think that like a lot of these assaults and stuff like that happen. These kind of assaults that happen are never physical, and that's where it gets tricky, especially with like stuff like, you know, sexual assault, right? Like it's normally people just using their influence.
Yeah.
And being like, if you don't, blah blah blah.
You're talking about that pussy grabbing.
That pussy, yeah. Oh, hey, Mr. President.
We've got one of those bougie fucking people right there. Mm.
You know what's weird is that he's never seemed... Dude,
he's entirely bougie, though. He's just an asshole.
His attitude seems like... There was... Okay, I used to deliver furniture, and I would deliver sometimes to these fucking mansions, right? And the gaudiest... Like gold railing, having suits of armor in the corner, having where people.
Wait, they had suits of armor?
Oh,
that's
dude,
so tight.
No, there's one that had a fucking suit of armor.
It's Oklahoma, like, right?
The floor, yeah, it's Oklahoma.
That's really weird to imagine that people have money in Oklahoma, though.
Well, because
they all drive pickup trucks, though.
The people who were the gaudiest,
it's a compliment.
And the tackiest were the people who, like, straight up Beverly Hillbillies, happened to have land that Halliburton wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And so. So basically, like, that's what Trump reminds me of, is like those houses. For some reason, even though I know he comes from money, like,
have you seen the pictures of him and his, like, where he lives?
Where there's like a tiger and fucking there's gold shit everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's just this gaudy, like, thing, but in a weird way. And here's what I think a lot of people
like, he's
missed.
A dude that still wears gold in 2016.
What I think that a lot of people missed is that
get it?
Trump looks like the way that he conducts himself is exactly how the poor people who voted for them, if they had millions of dollars, would act.
Oh, you mean so he's like,
he doesn't go to the fucking opera, he doesn't talk about like the dinner choices, he likes fucking taco bowls and he likes all this cheap
bullshit. You see that fucking shit he ate with Romney? They're eating fucking fancy, fancy schmancy
probably
stuff.
Probably just because they didn't have cheeseburgers on the fucking
probably
because
Romney was like, I'm not stepping a foot in a fucking Taco Bell.
But my point
is... He, like,
is
broke
is
character from, like, the really nice, like, dad.
My point is that no, regardless of the fact that Trump grew up rich, he's actually exactly what a lot of poor people would be like
if they won the lottery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people saw, like, hell, that's what the fuck I'd do. I'd have fucking...
No, you know what, though? Yeah. About a year and a... 2 years ago, one of my coworkers, when I was a truck driver, he was like... This is before, like, anybody took drugs. This is, like, right after the, they're rapists. They're thieves. Like, I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm defaulting back to the accent when he does not have a, like, rural accent at all.
Weird, right? Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, that's so weird. It's probably because of shit like The Simpsons and Family Guy and shit like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so, he, you know, right after that, this guy, and he actually did talk like this because he's a former construction worker, but this guy, Steve, I know, was just like, oh man, I'm stoked about that. I don't even vote, but I'm gonna vote for Trump. He's gonna make all of us a millionaire.
Mm.
And I was like thinking to myself, we can't all be millionaires because that would be the same as being broke. It's not how capitalism works, bro. Capitalism requires inequality.
Right.
That's what a leftist is.
Now, okay. So, okay.
Can't be a liberal and want equality because it's not possible.
Wow.
Take that. Y'all deluding yourselves. That's why you keep losing elections.
Can't wait. Woo! Wait, hold on. Let's unpack this. You can't be a liberal and want equality. Is that what you said?
Well, I'm gonna fucking like be taking a fucking mouthful of foot right now.
No, dude.
I
get that you were playing, but that's an interesting thought.
If you are a capitalist, you cannot legitimately be a fighter for equality, at least on an economic spectrum. You can that's why that you see like people, what was it? I don't remember what the term is. Is it identitarian neoliberal or some shit? That's why
that
people
like some
can sell you
dumb shit.
I agree, but that's what one of them fancy academic terms
God,
or some
I
shit.
Fucking academia.
But this was the argument as to why they lost, and I think there's some merit to it. Because they can't sell you actual economic equality, they were trying to sell you on more freedoms while looting your, like, everything
sure.
you have.
Yeah.
And these are great causes, but I think fundamentally they are not a substitute for means to survive.
Okay.
Because you can be all right. kinds of things, but if you're on the street,
mm-hmm.
you ain't happy.
Mm-mm.
You're not free.
It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, man. And I think that like the universal income is a really good idea.
I sound like a fucking Marxist just now, didn't I?
No, I think it totally makes sense, man. I think that, well, have you heard about like universal income? Like,
yeah.
It's actually completely feasible.
Like, I think it's totally.
It's a very doable thing. Like, giving everybody like 10 grand, like 10 grand a year, like just like yeah. just baseline. Like that's like your baseline yeah. fucking
Social Security for all, basically.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it totally makes sense to me because one, we can fucking do it. Like yeah. when you have yeah. a fucking plane that costs $3 trillion, you know, like we can actually. How about we just don't have the plane? Like that's fine. Like, we just not yeah. have the crazy
spot. No, plane. But the capitalist argument would be, what about progress?
That's the thing. Is that
and that's, there's merit to that argument too, though.
There's totally merit to it, but I think. That
but then I say, what about Cuba's health industry? No, sure. I'm just kidding.
Well,
I'm okay. not going into like generalization. Yeah. I don't know enough about that shit.
But I think that progress is basically. This idea that...
Why do I keep smacking the table when I get excited?
You've only smacked it like once.
I just go, woo! Clap my hands, smack the table.
No, it's fine. You're a gesticulator. Yeah. This sounds more
You're wrong. A gesticulator.
you're
fucking, you ain't got no gesticular fucking, fortitude.
Fucking, but like...
Why are we defaulting back?
I don't know. But I think that like the idea of like, oh, maybe there wouldn't be any progress is like... It's based on this idea that, like, people only do shit if they are starving. You know, it's like, no, if you gave everybody this baseline thing, there would be more fucking progress. Because people wouldn't be...
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
They wouldn't be doing this thing where, like, they have to make sure that they have groceries, right? It would be this thing where, like, okay, we have groceries, we have a house, everything's gonna be fine. Now, I can go to my job, I can still work at Target, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... Now I know that I can take a little bit more time to fucking do this thing that I want to do because I know that I'm not gonna fucking die if I do.
No, you know there's definitely some merit to that. Not to take away the like goofy shit that I was doing before. So when I got my like finger crushed in the lift gate or whatever,
mm-hmm. oh tell I that was story out. Real quick. Tell that story real quick.
Yeah. So I got my finger. So driving trucks, we obviously have a hydraulic lift gate in the back. And I was just finishing this job at this delivery over in Canby, Oregon, which is, you know, where the accents were making fun of.
Yep.
There's a lot of those there,
uh-huh.
which is probably, you know, why I got my finger crushed in the first place is making fun of those accents. Sure. Anyways, so coworker, I went to grab a clipboard while the lift gate was stopped. My coworker was like, I was like, hey, man, I'm going to grab this clipboard, get some signatures from that guy, and we'll just get on out of here. It was the last job of the day. Or one of the last jobs, and I reached down for the clipboard, and I got, you know, like bass player hands,
yeah,
or
yeah.
basketball player hands, or whatever, like, I, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I reached for that clipboard, and he fucking pushed the little button to move the lift gate, and it was just about an inch open, and it fucking crushed my middle finger.
Yep.
About right on the knuckle.
You had a fucking splint for how long? Almost, like, 6 months?
7-8 months.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like a 2-4 week recovery.
Yeah.
If it was a normal break, but because it was crushed in little pieces, I had bone fragments like pushing out of my hand and stuff. Well, not, I mean, after like little splinters were coming out for a few months after, like, you know, like glass does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was out of work for a while and I went on workers' comp, which is the first time I've ever been on any kind of, yeah, a leftist who never uses government stuff. It's kind of funny. It's almost like, I'm almost
I'm
like
the same way, dude.
I'm almost like a libertarian. It's
I've
weird.
Actually never had food stamps in my life,
but even though
I probably should have.
But yeah, so same here.
Yeah,
there was probably a few years in Oregon I should have had food stamps. I always think that those are for people, you know, with lesser means than I.
Mm.
So I was on workers' comp for a few months, and you know I thought I was going to be back to work in December. This happened like October 4th. I thought I was going to be back. I was on light duty and stuff like that. No, I'm good. Thank you. And it turned out my surgery didn't, my finger didn't heal right. And I ended up missing a lot more work. And for a good 2 months or so. Yeah, I was out of work for about two and a half months from April sometime to June. And I started to realize, holy shit, I can actually like come up with ideas now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the time and the freedom. I mean, workers' comp pays 60% of what your income is. So usually if you're a normal poor person or just above poor person, which 299 of your 300 listeners are going to be.
Yeah.
You make just enough to pay your bills and have just a little bit left. Just a little bit, if you can even save.
Yep.
Cut that by 30%. So I kept the lights on. We were eating, you know, Tiffany was basically the main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like paying my half of general stuff without any extras. Anyways, long story short, even having that little bit, it gave me a lot of time to think and plan and scheme and come up with ideas and different ways of doing, like, it allowed me the space to come out doing like King Shot Press stuff sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been, I think, a very, you know, it hasn't been like a, I'm not, a millionaire or anything like that, but in terms of coming up with sideways ideas for promotion and ways of doing stuff, it gave me the space to come up with stuff. I was able to let my brain decompress from the hustle of regular working life, and I was able to plan on, where do I take this? What do I do with this thing I've created?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with my own writing? And suddenly there was like this, I don't know, just like a clarity that if it was like this all the time, where you didn't have to fear losing your necessities.
Right.
The bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your something. Anyways.
Forget about your worries and your strife. Yeah, man.
I
need the bare. Anyway.
Why did you do that, man?
I don't know.
Are you cutting it out?
No.
Cool. Tight. Anyways, yeah, so if you don't have to worry about necessities, I think you are free. I think there is some merit to that.
Mm-hmm.
The argument that you are free to then come up with solutions to bigger things.
Yep. There's no reason why we should
live in... That was a long-winded way of getting to that
point. No, no, no. I think that there's no fucking reason why we should live in the world that we live in right now and expect that we should still all be working for, like, this bare minimum. Like, the idea of working so that you can have a fucking shelter and food to exist is fucking stupid.
Yeah, there's no way of getting out of work.
Idea. Yeah.
This idea that you won't be working is just bunk. I mean, there's some people who can't. You obviously got to take care of them. But in order, if you're like a normal person, I mean, it helps me because I'm, I don't believe in a, like a afterlife kind of thing. So what I got is what I got now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to make the most of that.
Sure.
And that motivates me significantly.
Well, it's also, man, the other thing is that, like, it would definitely fuck with the hierarchy in terms of the jobs, right?
Because
if somebody gets a job at fucking Wendy's, right, and they already have everything basically covered, they're working at Wendy's so that they can get a little bit extra, so that they can do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
That's going to change a lot of shit, like, in terms of, like, managers and employees. And,
oh, because suddenly they don't have to be there.
Suddenly it's like, yeah, I don't actually have to be here. Like, why would I want to? And I think that's the big thing that basic income would upend, is that all these corporations would have to figure out, how do we entice employees rather than how do we just exploit them, right? Like, they'd have to figure out ways that people would actually want to fucking work at Wendy's.
No, it does. I think it takes the stress off of, well, no, it adds more creative solutions to that end, I think, but it also, like, not just
shout out to people who work at Wendy's, by the way.
Oh, dude, yeah, service industry, retail, fast food, all that shit's hard work. I'm in retail, so.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking just, like, safety net shit here. But not just universal income, but universal healthcare as well, not to, like, bring it over there, but you decouple healthcare from business, that's less burden on business owners.
Yep.
So as it is right now, if you wanted to hire employees on a broken river, or the JD Osho TM
C. C with a circle C.
It's like the opposite of the circle A.
Fucking patent, U.S. government patent.
Yeah, patent the JD Osho patent. What'd you patent? That string of words, like, nobody's ever seen JD Osho together.
I patented my dick.
Wait, did you create that?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom patented your dick. but that would be the person that invented it.
It's true. Yeah,
they would have like
co-ownership. My mom actually did invent my dick.
Yep.
Should we end on that?
I don't know, man. I don't know where to go. No, but you decouple that from these things. You decouple the stress of bills from your worker, and you're able to do some amazing things. It takes you to that Star Trek future you're talking about.
Right.
You decouple healthcare from businesses makes it easier to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Suddenly they're not, they don't have to have benefits, but then they have to figure out other ways to entice you, which is, mm-hmm. you know.
Imagine McDonald's actually having to entice employees in, right? Or automating, which it also opens up the field for automating. It's like, okay, if you want to automate these things, that's totally fine. But we can't just, like, I don't know. The way the system is right now has, quote unquote, worked okay, depending on who you are.
Yeah. Worked okay for some.
For some. But it's going to get worse as we figure something else out. Like, it's going to get much worse.
If you're not already rich or on your way there, you're going to be eating the same shit as the rest of us.
Yeah, if you're working in retail 10 years from now, you probably won't be anymore.
I don't mean to be like doomsaying and shit like that or whatever, but I remember reading this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki.
Such.
And he was talking about how there's a coming inequality storm and it's best to get into the millionaires thing, which is bullshit because that exacerbates the whole issue because money's limited. So that if you become a millionaire, you're taking millions of dollars out of people that...
That's right.
Don't have it, and if you become a billionaire, it's like it's such a horrible system of control.
I mean, I don't go the other way either. Like, I don't think that it should be like totally communist, socialist, whatever. But at the same time, I feel like there needs to be like a new political system.
Yeah,
where
I
agree. Just like where
I
it's
agree.
Just like it's almost like the don't be a dick system.
No, I think that there's definitely a...
It's like, don't be a dick system. Like, okay, so we're not socialist. We're not evenly distributing the wealth. That's bullshit. However, if we have somebody
I just hate the term wealth.
Right. Oh, sure.
You know?
However, if we have somebody over here who is sleeping in a fucking dumpster, maybe he doesn't have to sleep in a fucking dumpster.
I agree.
Right? And then, you know, come over here, you know, family of five, whatever... Oh, they made their choices, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Fact is, family of five can't afford to eat. Maybe they have food.
Yeah.
There. And so it's not based on one kind of rigid ideology.
No, because you don't, I feel that you don't want to wipe people's asses, but you also don't want to leave people behind.
Sure.
And this is something I feel like with most Americans, if not most people around the world, if not just the West, do feel that there's a lot of waste, that there's a lot of like mooching and stuff like that, and you can come to a common agreement. Like, I have a coworker, my manager's he identifies as a Reagan Republican / independent, and we have conflicting views on a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of common ground, and I'm not remotely conservative. I'm not even on that
you're not even on the spectrum.
I'm to the left of Richard Nixon, so I'm probably you know, bad as it gets, right? Yeah, there's a lot of common ground that just comes from starting a conversation. You could have, even with the system we've got now, the stuff Bernie Sanders is talking about is kind of the bare minimum of what you want your society to offer. Right. He wasn't offering, when he talks about, like, a radical idea, I'm like, no. that's like slightly left of Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
And that dude was a lot better at it than you, because he got shit done. He's also a war hawk, but that's cool.